For the theater students at Eastern Michigan University, the Quirks Bonberg Theater feels like home. They study here, they practice here, and they perform here. Countless hours of their college career are spent behind the walls of the Quirk Building. However, there's a racist historical tie to the building's namesake that few in the EMU community knew about. That was until August 29th when Matt Siegfried, an EMU graduate and local historian, shed light on the racist, demeaning shows that Daniel L. Quirk Jr. would direct and perform throughout Ypsilanti in the early 1900s. This aspect of Quirk's life went unmentioned for decades and was never acknowledged by the university until now. I'm Ashley Bueller, and this is the Eastern Echo Podcast. Officials at EMU are weighing their options and deciding their next move after learning that the namesake of the Quirk Building frequently directed and performed racist theater shows. Minstrel shows, as they were called, often featured white people doing blackface. And in Quirk shows, the wealthy white folks of Ypsilanti would come together, sing songs associated with slavery, and perform as mammies, a term used to describe a black woman who served as a nurse or servant to a white family. Archives of the Normal News, which was the campus newspaper for what was then known as the Michigan State Normal College, shows that blackface minstrel shows were actually frequently performed on campus as sanctioned events. And although these types of performances were common during this time, especially for white upper-class individuals, many in the EMU community said they would feel uneasy with the university upholding Quirk's name in the future, now knowing this aspect of his history. I spoke with Kara Osborne, a senior at EMU and vice president of the Black Student Union, to get her take. While she said it's important for students to know the racist history of Daniel L. Quirk Jr., she feels a name change is important to send a message about what the university stands for today.
We need to know the history behind our school and the things that come along with that. And at the school where we say everyone is welcome here, like, we need to make it known that that was a person who was not welcoming people. He was not helping people, or he was not making people feel welcome on campus. And now we have students who are African-American who go in this theater, who are theater majors, and they are using this building that someone who doesn't even like them, or someone who didn't even like them. And so, yeah, like, I just think that should be known to students, and something should be done by Easter, and maybe a name change, not even maybe, like, a name change should happen if they actually do care about their students and stand for welcoming everyone and standing against racism.
Darian Vaughn is a theater student who first performed in Quirk in 2015. After spending so much time there, he said he knows the inside of the theater like the back of his hand. And although he understands the world was a different place back when Quirk would do his blackface performances, that kind of behavior is not acceptable now, and Vaughn does not want to see the university continue to honor Quirk with a namesake on campus. Although Vaughn is a senior and won't have the opportunity to perform in Quirk Theater again due to the COVID-19 pandemic, he said changing the name of the building is a must.
It's pretty hurtful because the university didn't care enough, especially with it being a time of unity and it being a time of trying to fix and trying to make the world better and to heal from things of slavery and Jim Crow and racism. And for the university to uphold the name is a little offsetting to me and a little off-putting, and it hurts a little bit because we give so much. And as black performers, we love to perform in the space, and we love the space. And it hurts that it's named after somebody who didn't respect us and didn't respect our culture.
The original Quirk Theater was built in 1958 and was dedicated to Daniel L. Quirk Jr. at that time. In 1985, the building underwent a renovation, adding a second theater named after former EMU president Harold Sponberg. The building is now known as the Quirk Sponberg Theater and is home to the EMU Department of Communication, Media, and Theater Arts. The university issued a statement to The Echo saying they were unaware of Quirk's history until learning of the Facebook post by Matt Siegfried. However, they expressed their deep concern and said that Quirk's racist behavior goes against everything EMU stands for. EMU officials are currently investigating the matter and are discussing the next course of action, which could mean anything from changing the name of the building to putting up an educational lobby display, an option Vaughn does not agree with.
Damn, it's terrible. Why would you put up a display? We want to know about Daniel Quirk. We don't give a flying fadoodle. Do we need a daily reminder? It's like sending us a text message every day. You're about to go to class. That's named after a racist man. Like, what?
Pamela Cardall Cato, who works in the Quirk Building as the Assistant Managing Director for the School of Communication, Media, and Theater Arts, said she was saddened by the news of Quirk's history, but sees this as an opportunity for the university to make change and reflect where it stands today.
Is this news that we've learned disheartening? Yes. Does it make a lot of us really sad and angry and emotional? Yes. But does it also offer us a really great opportunity to stand up and say, you know what? Now we get to tell you what we truly believe in. Now we get to make positive change. Now we get to move forward and be encouraging and supportive and, you know, truly representational of everybody that walks through the halls of this building.
Card Alcato was able to offer some insight on the next possible steps for the university.
I haven't been given like a timeline, but I do know that all sorts of things are being discussed. And again, we want this to be done thoughtfully. So I don't know if they will reach out to someone in historic preservation. I think that they would reach out to someone in the university foundation to sort of see, have other commitments been made? I don't know all of the details, but it's a big, complex thing to tackle, and to tackle in the right way, you know, so that responses are not knee-jerk and reactionary, but they're thoughtful and appropriate and encouraging going forward. Mm-hmm. I think it would be really fun to rename the building. And I don't know, do you have students make suggestions? And, you know, we went from university mascot, you know, we went from being a Huron to being an eagle. So name changes can happen. And I think having as much input as possible would be great. I would hate to see it sort of happen too quickly so that people's voices aren't heard.
The resurfacing of Quirk's past has sparked conversations about what other buildings on campus are named after people whose actions would be deemed unacceptable today. Frederick Pease, the namesake of Pease Auditorium, was known to perform in blackface at minstrel shows just as Quirk did. And a quick Google search will show that Mark Jefferson, namesake of the Jefferson Science Complex, was involved with stealing items from Native burials on Water Street in the early 1900s. And Isaiah Bowman, namesake of the Bowman Roosevelt parking lot, was well known for his prejudiced views and discriminatory actions against Jews. Card Alcato was one to share these concerns about what other EMU namesakes have not been looked into and might conceal racist roots.
When you start looking at all of the buildings on campus, this article sort of sparked a curiosity for me. You know, like, well, what else don't we know, right? What other histories are out there? And I think obviously the time was very different when they made the choice to select that person as the namesake. I think there's a lot of buildings on campus that we could certainly look into, and maybe that option of renaming so that, you know, maybe more buildings representing women or people of color, or, you know, just Eastern is so committed to diversity and inclusion. It would be really lovely to see the names of buildings on campus reflect that, you know, where we are today. But you also don't want to completely erase history. So it's, how do you find that balance of, you know, bringing things to light and saying, this was a really terrible choice in the past. Let's talk about this really terrible choice. And how do we go forward better now that we know about this?
This is a valid point, but it begs the question, is it the best decision to name the building after another person in the future?
I think it does get tricky, though. You know, when you stop and think about it, anytime you name something after a human being, you can find flaw, right? You can find flaws with that person. You can find mistakes in their past. You can find choices that, boy, they wish they hadn't made. Or maybe they don't care that they, you know, made that particular choice. They just never thought anybody would find out about it. So a little part of me is hesitant, I guess, to put another person's name on it, because 10 years down the road, what are we going to find out about that person?
As a safer bet, Kira Osborne suggested going with an African-American person or a person of color, preferably someone from Quirk's era who was underappreciated and did not get the recognition they deserved for their theater work simply because of the color of their skin.
I honestly would, if I'm being completely honest, I would just say, like, to not name it after someone who's a part of the majority. I feel like people who are people of color, or especially African Americans, should be allowed to get that recognition that they probably didn't receive, especially back during those times. Like, they didn't get the recognition that they should have probably received, even if they were just cast members or crew members, and they weren't, like, actual, they didn't have, like, lead roles or something like that. Maybe they were doing something like making costumes, doing makeup, doing hair, maybe even cooking lunch or dinner. Like, somebody was doing something that was beneficial during that time who was not part of the majority and most likely was a POC or African American, and they should still be able to get that recognition, because, like, we all know that they weren't getting it during that time, and most likely, more likely than not, like, no one's going to find dirt on, like, somebody who's African American or a POC.
Casey Quirk, one of the five first cousins of Daniel L. Quirk Jr., issued a statement that can be found on the Facebook page of Matt Siegfried titled South Adams Street, circa 1900. She said, "As a fifth generation of the Quirk family in Ypsilanti, I am deeply saddened at the depth of the ignorance of my ancestors. While my own ignorance of my family history is inexcusable, it is nonetheless a fact. I am aware, however, that I grew up in a family with generations of old prejudicial ideas of the place of people of color, a belief system that I have been working to unlearn for the most of my adult life." She goes on to show support for renaming the theater, saying, "As we come to reckon with the past and understand what roles people of notoriety, who held power and privilege, played in building and maintaining systems of oppression, I believe we must reclaim, and in this case rename, those things which to many represent the deepest wounds." A decision or timeline regarding the university's plans for the Quirk Building has not been announced. However, Cardinal Cato has one final message to ease the minds of the EMU community.
I just want to make sure that people know that we are taking this very seriously. As soon as we found out this weekend, messages started going back and forth, discussions started happening. We made sure that it wasn't just people in our area that were aware, but we contacted the dean and the provost and made sure they contacted Jeff Larkham and Walter Kraft and the president, so that everybody knew what was happening, so that we can work together in a unified response, because we do value and appreciate diversity. And this really was just a terrible affront to everything that all of us stand for. So we really want to make sure that we're going forward unified, and that we're sharing updates with the community as those come about.
Thank you so much to Pamela Cardell Cato, Darian Vaughn, and Kira Osborne for taking the time to speak with me. This episode of the Eastern Echo podcast was written by myself, Ashley Bueller, and you can find more coverage of Ypsilanti and EMU news at easternecho.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Monday.